Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the 73rd Psalm this evening, the 73rd Psalm, and be in prayer for Pastor Townsley. He's he's helping out his parents with a couple of things, and he'll be back. Just pray for him in his travels, be back tomorrow. I know there's different weather, something tonight maybe, and Saturday, and I'll just pray that he's able to make it back in time and in a safe manner, and nothing will be delayed, and that he'll get done what he needs to out there. Before the service, Brother McKeever said to me, this is a public service announcement, that something had to change with the live streaming, and he changed it today. So if you're live streaming and you're having problems, he'll come to your house later tonight and fix it, he said. Now, it's something technical. The platform that we use, they've changed it, and so if you are having issues, you can contact him. He might be able to help you, but it may be you need to go to a lower resolution or whatever. Some of you listening, it might frustrate you so much you'll just come here and be with us. Amen. Just come right here. That's a good tool to have. But I just remind you, it's if you're sick, you can't be here. That's a great thing. But it doesn't replace church. It doesn't replace being in church. If you can be here. You know, it's more than just hearing the preaching. It's being a part of it. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it goes on to say, but exhorting one another. You know, it's not just the preacher's job. It's a group job. We're supposed to build each other up, encourage, strengthen one another. And so we appreciate all those tools, all the help that we have to be able to be a part of the service even when we're not in town. But Psalm 73, and we're going to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to kind of talk about several things in this psalm. But look at verse number 24. He says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." Verse 26 says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Dear Lord, we thank you again for the privilege to come together, open your word, preach your word. Lord, please minister to us. I pray that you would strengthen us, help us to examine our hearts and see if there be anything that needs to change, and allow you to do the work that needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. The 73rd Psalm records the inner thoughts of the psalmist. It's the Psalms are kind of famous for this, and the way that they express what the psalmist, inspired by God, was thinking about or dealing with, even internally. And Psalm 73 is very transparent. Asaph, who is accredited with this, makes it very clear he's confused and even worried about some things and bothered by some things. And it all boils down to this. He looked around and he saw himself, that he was righteous and he was right with God. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But he dealt with struggles and he dealt with trials, and then he looked around him and he saw the wicked and went, "Wait a second, they seem to be doing just fine." And this psalm, over the 28 verses as they're broken down, relate us, it's kind of his inner thoughts about this and how he struggled with this and the conclusion that he came to. And we see, of course, how God brought him out of it, but it depressed him. I mean, it got him, if you read it, he was, and we'll see it later, he was really down about the whole thing. But the Lord really brought him through it. But if you look through the psalm, then you'll notice something that is a reoccurring theme. Look in verse number 1, he references the heart. He talks about a clean heart. In verse number 7, he says, "They have more than heart could wish." The heart is referenced again. Verse 13, he says, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain." Verse number 21, he says, "My heart was grieved." And then verse 26, where we left reading a moment ago, he says, "My heart faileth." So over and over and over again in this psalm, the heart is dealt with. You know, the Bible says a lot of things about our heart. You know, the heart, it's there's a very real physical necessity for the physical heart, the organ that pumps blood and sends it through our body and keeps us functioning and moving and keeps us alive and keeps oxygen delivered to the right places. And of course, we understand that from a physical standpoint, but spiritually, God also uses that and relates the heart to the inner man, to the inner person, to the real us, and he calls that our heart, and he speaks a lot about it. I have picked out a few verses. You listen, I'll read them to you. I'll announce the passage. If you're taking notes, you may want to jot down the passage and go home and read it later, but I'll give the passage and then I'll read it to you, and just consider all the things the Bible tells us about our heart. In Luke 6 and verse 45, he says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." You know, everybody's got a treasure chest in their heart. And whatever they fill that treasure chest with, whether it be good or whether it be evil, it eventually comes out. You see somebody who is, you know, all sorts of trouble. They have all sorts of problems that they're just living in sin. And they you say, what's the problem? What's the situation? It's a heart issue. Well, they just don't do anything else about it. They just love the sin. Why is that? Because that's what their heart is. That's what it comes from the heart. You see, if we have, you know, struggles and things like that, go back to the source. Go back to the heart. See, is there a heart issue that needs to be dealt with? Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Proverbs 23 and verses 6 and 7 says, "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." There's the same idea again, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, the Bible tells us that what defines you for you has more to do with what's on the inside than it does on what is on the outside. Now, that doesn't at all excuse anything we do on the outside, because if the inside's right, the outside's going to be right. That's the idea. But God places the emphasis on the heart, on the inward man, and on being right there. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, what's the idea, the philosophy that people live by today? It's, oh, follow your heart. That's dangerous. You know, it seems, you know, romantic in a way. It seems like inspiring in a way, that somehow there is this inner light within us that will naturally know the right thing to do or the good thing to do. And if we just kind of follow that native impulse within us, then we'll end up on the right path and doing the right thing. Friend, I could take you and many different homes and circumstances and situations and introduce you to people that are in all sorts of problems, and it all started because they followed their heart. The Bible says it's deceitful and desperately wicked. That's why things in the New Testament, the Lord tells us things like, try the spirits. Because we have to be careful. Our heart can convince us that the right things are wrong and that the wrong things are right. It can lead us astray, and it will lead us astray if it's our soul in the flesh, if it's our soul guide for how we do what we do. Romans 10 and verse 9, of course, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, the heart, God constantly is referring to the heart. And you know, you say, well, why does that, you know, that teenager have a bad attitude? And I don't know that any in here do. It's a common thing that people ask. Why is it? Well, it's a heart thing. It starts with the heart. Get the heart right. They get the heart right, the attitude changes. You know, why does my spouse have a bad attitude? Well, there's a heart thing there. You know, why do I have a bad attitude? It's a heart thing. I mean, it goes on down the line. It's a heart thing. Rebellion is born from the heart. All of these things, it generates from the heart, from within. And so the psalmist here refers several times to the heart, and in all but, I believe, one of the cases, the heart he is referring to is his own, even as a believer. And so I want to take a look at this psalm at each of these instances, and we see some things that kind of will help us to examine our heart through his eyes as he bore his soul here on the pages of Scripture. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 1 that we all need a clean heart. Look at verse number 1. He says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." He said God is good to those who are of a clean heart. He really starts out with his conclusion. The questions that he asks and ponders later, in verse number 1, it shows you that by the time he wrote this, he had it figured out. He knew that God was good to those that had a clean heart. But listen, that's where it starts. We have to have a clean heart. A cleansing happens in an eternal sense at the moment of our salvation. Wasn't that a great truth that they sang here just a few minutes ago? They said it happened that very moment that he saved my soul. Friend, you need to know that there was a point in time in your life that eternal cleansing took place, that your heart was made right with God, that the inward man, the inward person was quickened and made alive, and that happened at a point in time. The Bible refers to that in the New Testament as the new birth. Being born again. And just as you were born the first time at a point in time, the new birth, the second birth, happens at a point in time. Now, do you have to be able to give the moment and the hour? Do you have to be able to recall that to know that you're saved? No, but you should know that it happened at a point in time. There are people that forget the year or exactly when, especially if they were a child. They forget exactly the day of the week that it was on or the date in the month that it was on. That's not the point. The point is you've got to know that it did happen at a point in time where you, by faith, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's a lot of dear folks in our area who get confused about this matter. And you'll ask them, have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you ever prayed to ask Jesus to save you, to forgive your sins? And you'll get a response something like this: well, I do that every day. And what they mean by that is, in order to get the cleansing that I know I need, I know I'm a sinner, I do that every day, but I also do these other things every day. And I, or once a week, or once a month, or a couple times a year. You know what I'm getting at. I do those things, and the idea is that I am trying to work for this cleansing. That's not how it happens, friend. Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again the third day so that we could have our heart cleansed in a moment of time by faith. That's the only way that it can happen for eternity. So if you don't have that moment in time, then I would encourage you, even now, if you understand it where you sit, you call out to the Lord and ask him to save you, and your moment in time could be right now. Amen. If not now, if you have questions and further questions, come forward at the end of the service, talk to someone. We'd be happy to show you from the Bible, explain it from the Bible, so that, and today you could say that January the 15th, 2020, was the moment in time that God cleansed my heart for all of eternity. That's that eternal cleansing, if you will. But there's also a day-to-day cleansing that we need to be aware of. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know who he's talking to there? He's talking to people who have been born again. And you see, friend, there's a day-to-day. You know, when I got saved, I was made a part of the family of God. Could never get kicked out of that family. But for that relationship to be free and clear, I need to make sure that when I mess up, I take care of it and ask for him, his forgiveness. Amen. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The Bible, the psalmist David, in the 51st Psalm says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Friend, there's times in our life, we have revival meetings every now and then throughout a year. We have special services. There's special messages preached. There's things that the Holy Spirit brings to our mind in our day-to-day walk with the Lord. We realize, you know what? There's an uncleanness there that I need to confess and get it taken care of. Amen. And you know, it's important to take care of those things. Why? Because the truth of Psalm 73 says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." When we are not functioning with a heart that's clean, when we clutter it up with all the things of this world and with sin and with everything else, when it's cluttered by that, you know what? You're not as aware of the goodness of God as you should be. You lose track of the goodness of God. You lose that closeness with the goodness of God. And so the first heart that we see referenced is the clean heart. We need a clean heart. Secondly, we'll move on. Move a little quicker. Verse number 7, we see that we need to beware of an ungrateful heart. He says, he's talking here about the wicked that are around him. In verse 6, he says, "Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness." You know, just the visual that he's painting here of these people, just they're just consuming and consuming and consuming. And he says they have more than their heart could wish. See, they had an ungrateful heart. He describes one that they are in verses 5 and 6, they're full of pride and self-reliance. These people had so much stuff that they weren't willing to give credit to the one who gave it to them. They said, look what we have. Like the rich ruler in the New Testament that boasted about his great crops and said, I've got barns, but I'm going to pull them down and build bigger barns. He had enough. He had enough that he needed. And now he's going further. Why? Just because. And it was self-reliant, and he forgot to mention and he forgot to consider where his stuff came from. Friend, we need to be careful, even as believers, of developing an ungrateful heart. Amen. You realize I appreciate greatly Pastor Townsley's message on Sunday evening, and he talked about at the beginning, don't you love it? You know, those of you who aren't kids, don't you love it when he makes them stand up and you just can sit there and go, I remember having to do things like that. I didn't know what was about to happen, and we just can enjoy it. But he tried to impress upon them the idea they should be thankful for what they have. And you know, if we're not careful, we can be, even in the good things, lulled to sleep by what God has given us, and we take it for granted, and we develop an ungrateful attitude about everything that God has, even as saved people, we can go down that route if we're not careful. We start to look at the Christian life as, what's in it for me? What can I get out of it? You know, that church isn't doing enough for me, or that person isn't treating me right. Or we can go down, and it's an ungrateful heart that produces that, even in the life of a believer. We see that we need a clean heart. In verse number 7, we need to beware of an ungrateful heart. In verse number 13, we see the need to avoid a jealous heart. He says, verily, now this is him speaking of himself again. He is a man that knew God, you could say it that way. In verse 13, he says, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." Now, you say, well, what's he mean? Well, if you read the psalm, read the whole psalm, he gets to this point. He is so fed up by the seeming prosperity of the wicked around him and comparing it to his own struggles that he had, that he looks and he goes, it's like I got right with the Lord in vain. He got his eyes off the Lord and he started focusing on everything else around him, and he started to get a little bit jealous about how good they seemed to have it and how poor he was. That woe is me attitude. Friend, beware of a jealous heart. Young people, beware of a heart that gets jealous about and for the things of this world. You know, it'll present a front to you that seems appealing, and it'll seem like the things, you know, of the Lord are constraining and constricting, and you can get so out of sorts with that, you get jealous after the wrong things, but beware lest you get to partake in some of those things. And you find out it's all emptiness. We're studying Ecclesiastes in Sunday school. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit, he said. Don't get jealous of things that are outside of what God has given us. If God is good, then he is all the way good. He doesn't withhold things from us to be mean or to be angry towards us. He protects us. And so the psalmist got to that point where he said, "I have cleansed my heart in vain. I this is all vanity. This isn't worth it. I jumped on the wrong ship." But friend, it's never the wrong ship if he's on board. And boy, how visual that illustration is when you go to the New Testament and you think about Jesus on board a ship and it looked bad, but he was there. And so the psalmist expresses that of himself, that he got to that point. Fourth thought, keep moving in verse number 21. Don't ignore a grieved heart. He says, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins." That word grieved there, it means to taste sour. Anybody here like milk that's been left out for a while? I hope not. Yet, that repulsive kind of, you smell it, or if it makes it past the gate of your nose and the smell, and it hits your tongue and there's a reaction to it. That's kind of what he's expressing here, is his heart was almost soured. He said, "I was pricked in my reins." That actually refers to, on a human, the kidney area. It's like I got punched in the kidneys. In other words, this is how it was burdening him. Friend, don't ignore a grieved heart. There's other ways. Those are kind of interesting ways that we describe it, but that it's described here in Psalms, but we say it in other ways. We'll say, you know, that person is bitter. We'll say that person is angry. That person is there, and you can see it, and what it is, it's a grieved heart. It's somebody who is questioning and somebody who doesn't understand why. And friend, don't ignore that. You know, things of life are going to come our way that we don't understand. There's tragedy. There's the things that he struggled with, being jealous over the wrong things and why. And there's all these things that can affect our heart, and many are the people who have sat in great churches and heard the preaching and had the Bible taught to them and have served the Lord and have done the things of the Lord and have followed Him and have supported missions and have run bus routes and have all that, that are nowhere near the house of God now. Why? Because they let a grieved heart sit in and they never dealt with it the right way. You see, if Satan can get us grieved there, remember all that stuff that we read about the heart at the beginning, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Suddenly bitter words start to come out, where there once was joyous words. Biting words start to come out, where there once were happy thoughts and happy, encouraging words. Depressing words start to come out, where there once was victory. Why? Because on the inside there's grief. On the inside there's trouble. On the inside there's a sourness, there's a turmoil. And friend, if that's the case, it needs to be dealt with. And the sooner a person deals with it, the better. I remember growing up, Southern churches, you know, hearing, you know, dad's a pastor, and you hear him talk about, you know, just mention off the cuff every now and then about somebody said, they said they've been upset for 30 years. And they just refused to get over it. And the damage that's done is to them. You know, the people that might have initiated the damage probably don't even remember it, don't even know, didn't even know that they did. The damage that's done is to them. And they never dealt with it. And a grieved day turned into a grieved month, which turned into a grieved year, which turned into a grieved decade. It just happens and snowballs so quick. And that is not the way to live a life, friend. The psalmist there expressed a grieved heart. You know, sometimes, and really in the context here, you could see this almost being the case as well. You know, sometimes a grieved heart comes from the working of the Holy Spirit trying to correct something within us. Don't ignore it. Get it right. Say, yes, Lord, yes. Don't take a stand against Him. So don't ignore a grieved heart. And then the fifth reference to the heart here is in verse number 26. And this will be our concluding point. Let God give you a strong heart. It says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let God strengthen your heart. Say, well, how does He do that? Well, how do we get a strong physical heart? We eat the right things and we exercise, right? How do you get a strong spiritual heart? You eat the right things and you exercise it. It's exercise is by faith. It's food is the Word of God. You put it in. You ingest it. You let Him work. You let the nutrients, the vitamins from the Scriptures get in there and strengthen and do what it's supposed to do. You live by faith. You learn to trust Him. You learn to let Him work and let Him take care of things. And you learn to rely on Him. And you do that enough, just like a great Olympic athlete will then produce, have a strong heart. A believer, though frail in body and soul, can have a strong heart. You've heard many preachers say it, but any preacher that's ever visited hospitals and ministers to people can identify with it. And that's some of the frailest of people physically have the strongest of hearts spiritually. Because while they can't exercise anymore physically, the Word of God has done its work on the inside, and they've lived a life by faith, and they have a heart that's strong that cannot be moved. That's one thing I always have admired about people who are older of faith, older preachers, older, is the unflappable nature of them. Now, I'm sure that they have moments of weakness, but when I want to panic and run and hide, I see the strength. Why can they show that strength? have a strong heart. Just like the bad heart is going to produce the bad things, a strong heart is going to produce strength. It's going to produce a stability. It's going to produce, we talked in chapel this morning about this, it's going to produce a strong foundation from which to live and from which to build. So let God instill in you a strong heart. That's what church helps us to have. The Word of God, daily Bible reading, our constant communion with the Lord. You find yourself communing with Him throughout the day? I don't mean just at a time of a prayer time, but I mean throughout the day. Do you commune with Him throughout the day? You know what? As more and more you're aware of His presence and aware of His working in your life, the stronger your heart will be. So when things come your way you don't understand, that heart keeps pumping the right things. We need to let Him build a strong heart. So, need a clean heart. Beware of an ungrateful heart. Avoid a jealous heart. Don't ignore a grieved heart. And let God give you a strong heart. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day.